Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here we go. Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love.
This is another Dolphins podcast.
Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of another Dolphins podcast. We are going to stick with the theme of the offseason. We are rebuilding the Miami Dolphins. I have Joshua Houts with me, and I would love to introduce a very special guest coming to us from the Finsider, George Forder. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you guys having me. Excited.
I'm glad you're here, man. We've talked before behind the scenes. I know that now you're doing film breakdowns, so make sure you follow George if you don't already. I mean, we'll pimp it at the end of this pod, but George Forder 3 at on X. Is it X or is it Twitter? What do you call it? What's your preference?
I still call it Twitter, but I mean, it's technically, I think, yeah, it's X.
Smart man. Yeah, no, I think Twitter is always the vibe. Twitter will, it's just simply put that way. George, before we get into here, can you tell us a little bit about yourself as a Dolphins fan and how you've come to torture yourself with this fan base like the rest of us?
Yeah, so like I was telling you guys before, I grew up on the East Coast, grew up in Maryland. A lot of my family's, or half my family's from Baltimore. So I grew up Colts fans, which of course, if you guys aren't familiar with how that went, you know, they left in the middle of the night. So all my family kind of scattered around different fans of franchises before the Ravens came in. And at like 4 years old, I was heavily pressured to pick a team and ended up with the Miami Dolphins. And I've just stuck with it ever since. I'm not from Florida, you know, I'm out here in Denver now. I was in the Air Force, which kind of put me all over the place. And then once I got out, me and my wife moved to Texas and then I got a job up here. So, not a ton of Dolphins fans. I will say, after the Broncos' absolute domination, I was kind of worried to wear too much Dolphins gear. I didn't know if I was going to get jumped walking the dogs. Some of my neighbors are like huge Broncos fans, so that was
that was
awkward. But then, yeah, probably 5-6 years ago, I started writing, I started doing the film stuff. I'm coming from a fan perspective. I played, you know, through high school, loved the game, was like a Madden franchise junkie. So, you know, building teams and like all this stuff is, it's like a drug to me. My wife, will get frustrated with how much time I spend doing it. I love to do film stuff, probably more in season. We just had, we have a newborn son, so not a lot of film study at the moment, but when I can sneak it in is when I get it. So yeah. And I'm right with you guys at the Finsider now. That's me.
So, George, we have three different directions this podcast is going to go in today, and I'll let you decide where we're going to start. We have three key topics here. We're going to go interior defensive end. We're going to go offensive line. And we have some notes about wide receiver here. But which one would you like to begin with?
You know, I think let's go like interior defensive line. And I also kind of think edge is an interesting thing. So we can kind of cover it all if you guys are cool with that. I'll just kick it off. If that's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting the way Chris Greer has tried to fill, because really what they're trying to do is replace Christian Wilkins, which, you know, is a difficult thing to do. There's not many interior defensive players that play the number of snaps that he does and remain as productive as he has been, or how he was with Miami. Hopefully not that productive in the race, but you know, Zach Sealer's another guy that lots of snaps and still plays at a high level. So you know, they're kind of like piecemealing this thing together. And I think a lot of people after the Tier Tart move, which has been their most they're the biggest one for that position group, you know, feel like maybe they're not going to address more of it. But I would like to see a little bit more top end talent. I think they replaced Raekwon, and they're going to have a decent rotation. I don't know who's going to come out. Right. I mean, Neville Gallimore, Benito Jones, Jonathan Harris, Deshaun Hands, who played sparingly with us last year, Isaiah Mack, Air Tart. So I don't know who's going to come out, you know, who's going to make the team, who's going to see snaps from that group. But I think given the cap restraints that we have and the contracts that these interior guys are getting, like I remember before free agency hit, I was like, you know, Leonard Williams could be a more, you know, inexpensive, good option. And he got like close to $20 million a year or something. Crazy, so dude. Yeah, there's no, you know, if you're a good interior defensive lineman, it's a great time to be alive right now.
Oh,
yeah. And of course the contract that Christian got is out of this world. I can't blame him for taking that money. And I can't blame Chris Greer for not paying it. So it's really interesting to me. I don't know if you guys, how you guys feel about that group. To me, that's the biggest question mark going forward. I like that Greer targeted, you know, these 26, 27-year-old guys that could still have that breakout if given an opportunity to have more snaps. So, you know, I think best case scenario for them, one of those guys takes a step forward. You know, Zach, you know, is consistent. You know, you're going to get from him. And T.R. Tart's a good player. I think he kind of replaces Raekwon Davis. How do you guys feel about that group?
So I think for me, my eyes instantly popped at Tier Tart, specifically that 2022 season where he had six batted balls, right? Where I think there's, how can we make a fun name like a Tart Island, something like that, where someone who can be really disruptive in the middle of that defense. He signed, instantly became that front runner, but I do think that you can go through every single one of these guys and you kind of mention it based on the contracts they've gotten. There are some concerns with just about every single one of them. And I guess where I'm trying to kind of lead and figure out where this Dolphins defense is going to shine, it does go with whenever the edge gets healthy. That's when the defense, I think, will be good. That being said, for the Dolphins to make the playoffs and for the Dolphins to have a strong season, how good does this Dolphins defense have to be? How good does this front four have to be? Because a year ago, the Dolphins had the stars aligned, right? They had the ideal front four. We could say front five, front six. Raekwon Davis was solid. Andrew Van Ginkel, the lore that follows him wherever he goes. And it wasn't enough. Yes, some injuries played a role and things like that. But we've seen Chris Greer try to make every position good enough. Good enough doesn't mean great. Good enough, we could debate, it doesn't even necessarily mean good. But I think my philosophy moving forward is that I kind of would be okay if they just said, you know what, we think we're going to stink at this spot, and we're okay with that. Especially if it means they can really turn some other position groups into absolute strengths, where if you were to take like a, all right, you could draft a defensive tackle in the, you know, first round, that would be filling a need, but you're kind of chasing your tail in a way. Like, we just went through this whole phase where the Miami Dolphins, as of this offseason, they've lost so many pieces and they're a shell of themselves. Well, this current shell, or this past shell, quote unquote, couldn't beat playoff teams and they didn't win a playoff game. So if we keep trying to chase that process, it could work. Don't get me wrong. You could hit these draft picks. Everything could go perfectly well. But I feel like if there's going to be some sort of error why not know what that error is going to be and work around it and fill some other positions instead? What say you, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with both of you that this is definitely a weak. Well, I was just going to say, it's just definitely a weakness, right? I mean, I'm not sitting here getting hyped about these T.R. Tart. You know, but I do like your idea to sit here and, you know, nickname him, whether it's a tart, like the dessert, a sweet. I like sweet tarts, man, whatever it is. Yeah. But either way, I do think that, you know, I kind of keep joking that they're just throwing these, what are they, five-guy bags of potatoes next to Zach Sealer, hoping to get some type of production. So as cliche as it sounds, I mean, they brought in Anthony Weaver, right? He's a he's a defensive-minded guy, defensive line guy. Maybe he can get the best out of this unit, but I think I agree with George where they shouldn't be done with this. But maybe someone rises, you know, cream rises to the top. Maybe you have a guy that comes out, but like you both have said, this is not going to be the same defense that we saw last season, and they were prepared for that, so we'll see what comes of it, right? We'll see what the Dolphins have in mind, but I definitely don't think they're done building on that defensive line at all.
No, I don't think they should. And I think Jake, you alluded to, you know, that edge. The edge is what's really going to determine it. And I think they know, or they knew, that it was going to be a weakness compared to last year, which I think the shift from, and I know a lot of the fan base hates Jerome Baker. I liked Jerome Baker. I think he had a lot on his plate with every regime. But I think the move from Jerome Baker to Jordan Brooks, while I like Jordan Brooks too, I think it's more of a lateral move than some people think, but it's to a different style of player, right? Jordan Brooks is a bigger inside backer, a little bit more of a thumper, whereas Jerome Baker's kind of undersized, had a little bit more athleticism. And so I think maybe that, you know, that's kind of them tipping their hat that, hey, we're not going to be as good as far as stopping the run with our interior defensive line this year, because Christian Wilkins was just a menace. But, you know, if we have a little bit of a better run stopper, who's going to be absolutely at least, you know, your first and second down inside linebacker, then, you know, I think maybe that's sort of their way of trying to make up for that. But yeah, like Josh said, I think I love Johnny Newton, we're probably going to get more into the draft. I love Johnny Newton, Byron Murphy. Those guys there's a good chance one of them will be there at 21. And I wouldn't hate that pick. You know, like you said, you're kind of chasing your tail, sort of filling a need rather than maybe going with the most valuable player there. But, you know, as far as free agency, there's probably not a lot they can do. They added everybody they could that would accept $1.79 million one-year contracts. But the draft, I think there are some opportunities there. And I don't know how people are going to feel about Tavondre Sweat after, you know, he already had question marks with his weight and stuff. And now, you know, how dedicated are you to this process? You know, so he could be a late round steal at this point, depending on how far he falls.
What do you think happens at edge? Because it is such a unique scenario. And I just want to shout out Kat, who's been doing a lot of our draft stuff. He's mentioned Calais Campbell a couple times, and I think that could be that perfect piece. If you can get on your hands and knees and beg, wait till June 1st, please wait till June 1st to sign a contract. That way they have the Xavier and Howard money. I've been kind of playing around with them taking a defensive end in the draft and what that process would look like. Latu is the one that instantly pops up to me every single time. However, my concern is that the Dolphins need help at edge rusher, but edge isn't a position that it's great, or no position in the NFL. It's easy to kind of walk in and play day one, but edge is a position that from week one to week 17, you're going to see improvement. Jalen Phillips, his rookie year, he absolutely took off those final few weeks in the season. It didn't matter that he played the Jets a couple of times. He flat out took off. We're ignoring facts here. So if the Dolphins were to draft a defensive end to kind of start to fill that need and overcome some injuries, my fear issue is becomes you're losing a little bit of value because you have Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb, suffered season-ending injuries last year. Don't want to get too far down that road, but there should be ready mid-season. Hopefully you're feeling pretty good about them being healthy for a playoff push. That'd be about the same time you have this rookie edge rusher who's really starting to come into their own and ready to blossom. And then you also have Shaq Barrett, who's going to be on a rotation. So I feel like there's a logjam here, and there would be a kind of a huge like bump in the road when we're talking growth. If you wanted that edge rusher to come in, where we'd have these situations where he'd be heating up, and then you'd have these premier defensive ends coming in and ready to play where you don't really know what to do. You could argue that, hey, more edge rushers isn't necessarily a bad thing. And I guess I'd hang up and listen for that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, I think, I agree. It creates an issue. It's a unique problem that they have because we don't know when Bradley Chubb, you know, Chubb being a knee is a little bit more predictable as opposed to Jalen Phillips with the Achilles, because Jalen Phillips might be back next year, but he might not be, and he's probably not going to be the Jalen Phillips we're used to seeing at least that first season back. As far as edges that are ready to hit the ground running, Latu is the most refined pass rusher, bar none, in the class. So I think he's a guy that could step in and have an impact right away. You have, you know, the Dallas Turners, Jared Verse, Chop Robinson, that all three are pretty impressive athletes, but aren't as refined as Latu. It all depends what teams are going to prioritize. So it kind of almost takes me back to a couple years ago with Aiden Hutchinson and Trayvon Walker, right? Mm. It was kind of who's going to be the first guy off the board, and it ended up the Jaguars screwed up and took Trayvon Walker because he had those elite traits, whereas Hutchinson was more of a production. He had good traits. He wasn't a bad athlete, but, you know, teams emphasize that. So if teams emphasize that and Lotz is there, I'd have a hard time. That's a really valuable pick at 21 to get such a refined pass rusher. That's not a bad athlete by any stretch, but he's not Chop Robinson. You know, he's not those other guys. So if they do go edge early at 21, I think that signals maybe they're looking to get out of the Chubb deal in a couple years. I haven't looked at his salary cap to know when would be a good out. I know it's not now. So it could signal that they're forward thinking to get away from that. And yeah, you're going to have kind of a logjam at that position. But like you said, also that rotation is great. Having those guys fresh is fantastic. I love Shaq Barrett. But you also don't know for sure what you're going to get from him, because as players age, you know, it can be a pretty precipitous drop off, especially an explosive speed type rusher like Shaq Barrett. So yeah, it's an interesting problem to have. If Latu falls, I'd have a hard time if I'm Chris Greer passing on that pick, because I think he is really good, but I don't really think he's going to be there. I think if they wanted to go edge, they're probably going to have maybe like Chop. Chop will probably be there, because even though I think he was a good pass rusher at Penn State, the production wasn't quite there. If you just look at sack totals and even just, you know, total pressure totals. But yeah, it's a tough problem because they don't know exactly when these guys are going to be back. And at the end of the day, over the next 2 years, Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb are the heart of that group.
Yep.
So what do you do? It's tough.
As a PA boy, I'm really trying to get on the Chop Robinson board, but I understand what you're saying. You know, he just needs to refine his tools a little bit. But, you know, it's one thing that I just cannot erase, and I know Jake and I have talked about before, but it was very, you know, Mike McDaniel was very clear that his fair position to, you know, scout and things like that was the edge position. So I do think if a value like that falls to them at 21, and I do think that's the way they're setting up, right? I mean, we can sit here and say that our favorite player at this position is XYZ, but it seems like Chris Greer has at least plugged these holes enough where he's going to sit here, let everyone, you know, take those quarterbacks, let the board fall to him, and then he will probably go best player available, for being honest. But it's hard to sit here and say. You did mention the Chubb getting out of that deal. I know some people have talked about that. It, you know, long term, maybe that's an option. Jalen Phillips, man, I know that he's not gonna come back the same, but hearing you say it out loud, like, that just broke my heart even more. And so, yeah, there's some question marks there, but once they are healthy, I mean, like you said, man, that is the heart and soul of this unit. And let's be honest, they look like some of the most unstoppable pass rushers in all of football before they unfortunately went down.
Let's flip the coin here. Let's switch over to the offensive side of the football. Looking at ESPN real quick, their starting offensive line for the Miami Dolphins, Tron Armstead, Isaiah Wynn, Aaron Brewer, Robert Jones, and Austin Jackson. One note I do want to make here is that there were talks when Isaiah Wynn suffered his injury during the season. It never sounded super promising, but there was a time McDaniel was holding the door open, that there was a chance that maybe Wynn could come back. So the hope is, the expectation, I'm definitely not in the room, so I don't know for sure, that he should be good to go and all systems go come training camp and things like that. But George, Armstead, Wynn, Brewer, Jones, Jackson, we do something on this show called the Queasy Meter. In honor of Joe Philbin, I'd love to get, at a 1 out of 10, how queasy are you feeling if that's Miami's starting offensive line on week one?
That's a tough question. So I have my logical brain, and then I have my Liam Eikenberg is going to break out this year.
Yes!
So honestly, not because of how good I think the offensive line is, but because of how good I know that Tua is as far as masking some of those problems, and how good Mike McDaniel and his scheme with the pre-snap motion and things like that, how good that can be at masking some deficiencies on the offensive line. With that said, I still would give it a 5. I would give it a 5 right now. Guard worries me, and I like Rob Jones. Isaiah Wynn is good. I don't think he's good. I like Isaiah Wynn a lot, but I don't think
he's fine.
He's good. He's okay. He's like, sometimes our fan base, especially on X or Twitter, they get these like ideas in their head that like, oh, like sometimes people talk about Isaiah Wynn like he's this Pro Bowl caliber guard that they need him, or, you know, and I'm like, they brought him back on a pretty inexpensive contract. I think he's great depth. Right, because he has experience at tackle and he has experience at guard. I think he can play anywhere. He's a good athlete. But, you know, at the same time, it's so important to be cohesive in that unit. When I played, you know, through high school, I was an offensive lineman. I was a little chunkier than I am now. But I played offensive line, and we were like a really tight-knit group. We did track and field and stuff in the off season, and we all played together for years and years. And it helps. Like, you have that chemistry with each other. So, you know, to depend on Isaiah Wynn, I think, is problematic, because he has had so many problems with injuries through his career. Just last year, pretty much every single year of his career. And when he is, I know Tron Armstead, I'm not going to say the same thing, because, you know, you have one of the best tackles in football when he can play. And there's a different level of value you're getting from those guys. So I'm queasy about it. I like Aaron Brewer a lot. I love the fit for this scheme. And I'm higher on Robert Jones, and I'm higher on Liam Eikenberg than 99% of people probably within our fan base, especially at guard. I thought at guard, as the season wore on, you really saw a ton of growth from Liam. Now I've liked Liam since he came out. I loved him as a prospect. I loved his Notre Dame tape. I wanted them to try him to tackle, which they did. You know, it was fairly obvious early on in his career that he probably wasn't going to be an NFL tackle. So they moved him in. But then they're asking a lot of him every offseason, right? Because he was a tackle his entire time at Notre Dame. He doesn't have experience on the interior prior to his time in Miami. And they're moving him from guard to center to guard. So that's not easy to do, right? That's difficult. That's another guy that I think, even if he doesn't start, Liam is, I know I'm saying positive things about Liam Eikenberg, and that's going to like really upset some people, but that's great depth to have too, right? Because he can play any guard position. He can play center for you. And really, in like the biggest pinch of all time, he could play tackle. So there's some projection to get from how I feel now to, oh, this can be a pretty good unit. And I think in the draft, a lot of people are already, like, I think you had mentioned on that poll the other day, a lot of people are kind of like penciling in Jackson Powers Johnson. You had mentioned Graham Barton, who, as soon as I started like breaking things down and looking at who's available, oh, this guy seems like a Mike McDaniel pick or a Chris Greer pick. I think, you know, going from Connor Williams is a good athlete, as well, right? So they brought him in. We all love Rob Hunt, but they inherited Rob Hunt. And that, you know, he's athletic for a bigger guy, but that's not necessarily his game. He's probably going to do better in like a power scheme, gap scheme. So I think you're seeing this signal from, they re-upped Austin Jackson, who's a good athlete for a tackle. They went and got Teron Armstead, who's probably the best athlete at tackle, or one of the best athletes at tackle in the NFL. They got Aaron Brewer, fantastic athlete at center. So you're seeing this change where they're emphasizing these athletic, not humongous guys. So I think Grant Barton makes a ton of sense at 21. I like Jackson Powers Johnson. I think he'd be a great pick too. But this is all, I think, a moot point because I don't really expect Chris Greer to go into the draft, you know, looking for interior offensive linemen at 21. I think you're back. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm just based off of like everything, everything that he has done in his career as a GM coming up, he goes after those premium type positions. Now, what I think could happen, because this is a pretty deep tackle class, there could be like 5-6 first round tackles potentially. If one of those guys that has a little bit of versatility, which Grant Barton played tackle at Duke, but you know, he's probably not going to be a tackle in the NFL. But some of these other guys, if one of them falls, that could move over and play guard for a year, because we all know Teron Armstead's probably done next year. Mm-hmm. I love like JC Latham. I don't know if he's going to be there at 21. He's kind of a bigger guy, but he's a good athlete. Now he plays right tackle. So that would, you would kind of be forced to maybe move Austin back to left tackle. You have him under contract. He played left tackle at USC, played left tackle early in his NFL career. So I think he could do it. I'm not super concerned about the group, but I think it needs, they need either a free agent or they need to add somebody in the draft.
Oh man, I get the idea of not wanting to spend a premium position or a premium pick on guard. I think Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald was actually talking about it today too, where it doesn't really, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. And you could even argue if you're drafting a guard, you're chasing your tail again, trying to replace Robert Hunt. And I mean, Robert Jones, Lester Cotton, these are guys who started playoff games. I mean, I know it wasn't the greatest experience, but it was such an important experience. I think the fact that Liam Eichenberg had to, come in to Philadelphia, probably pooped a brick, and just compete in front of that Philadelphia crowd on primetime football, I think that is so important to his growth, so important to his health. God, I just think back to the fact there were, 12 to 14 different starting offensive lines for this team last year, where if you were to bring in another guard, or I'd love to go crazy and have a guard and maybe even a center as your first two picks. You mentioned Teron Armstead might retire. Kendall Lamb has said he's retiring after this year. That's kind of making my case where, hey, you get that left tackle, you want to slide inside for guard for a year. But Josh, I'm starting to feel a little queasy here. If we're going to talk about 4, 5, 6 great offensive tackles, there was a year, 2020, where there was also 4 or 5 great offensive tackles. Miami thought they took one of them. Breaking news, they didn't. I'm not trying to hit on Austin Jackson here, but there were like 3 guys right at the start of that draft who were locked in as home run. The Dolphins took the guy who was like, he's a little more athletic, he's a little more raw, he's going to have to grow a bit. And it's worked. It's a great success story for Austin Jackson. But there's also a scenario where this team needs to win now. You can't really mess around here. The way this team is built, you can't go into the 2025 season as a 5-12 team right before Tua's extension kicks. And that just cannot be happening. And I think the one way to see this team collapse on itself would be like it was at the end of the year, where the offensive line might have been one of the bigger issues on the team.
Yeah, and I still can't believe, you know, you always talk about how many different lineups we came out with. I mean, it's just insane that the Dolphins were still managed to go out there and compete. So, I mean, it kind of sounds like what you're saying is the Dolphins almost don't have time, right, to wait on one of these guys to develop and things like that. So, I do agree with George. I do think I like Liam Eichenberg, you know, listening to this, at least at guard, right?
Gross.
I think he's I don't like Liam Eichenberg. Did I say that? Kind of that? But you know what I mean? I'm okay. I mean, I'm a big fan of Rob Jones as well. So, I mean, I feel like we talked about before, if they feel like they, you know, are set there and that would have to be the starting lineup, I think I'd be okay with it, but I would like to see those guard positions upgraded for sure.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let's turn the page here just for a minute, because he doesn't talk to the media often, but Tua Tagovailoa came out this week hosting a football camp in Hawaii, and he was asked about his contract, and he was basically said, the contract negotiations are going good. Right now I'm letting my agent handle that. I'm focused on my family. I'm focused on continuing to better myself, better my craft, and we'll talk more about that when the time comes. For now, exciting times ahead, that's for sure. George, should we be upset about this quote just because? Should we be excited about this quote because we're Dolphin fans? How are we taking this? Where are we shaking the tree?
You know, it's been like a talking point all off season about the extension, but I really feel that it's a foregone conclusion, that it's going to get done. I think it's getting done behind the scenes. I don't know exactly what to say. I know it's more complicated than my brain can maybe comprehend as a non-lawyer contract writing. Well, it's kind of my job, but anyway. So, I think it's a foregone conclusion that he is going to sign an extension to stay here. Like a lot of fans at the end of last season, I was pretty disappointed by how the season ended. The offense I felt was what did us in, right? The offense kind of collapsed, partly because of the offensive line, partly because I think, Tyreek and Jalen Waddle maybe weren't 100% down the stretch. And then that, trying to bring Chase Claypool along, he just didn't step into that role like I think Mike McDaniel hoped that he would. So it wasn't all to his fault that the offense sputtered, but it was disappointing that he wasn't able to kind of elevate the group is probably completely unfair to expect of him to do. But, as irrational fans, that's kind of how we felt, I think, or how a lot of us felt down the stretch. But once that disappointment, once your kind of adrenaline wears off at the end of the year and you're able to look at it more logically, you realize that Greer, Tua, and McDaniel are inextricably linked. And it's in both parties' interest to kind of get this extension taken care of. For Tua, I think, McDaniel, these weapons, this is the best system. This is the best situation for him in the NFL. Right, there's nowhere else he's going to want to go. I think he could be successful in other systems. I think I think really highly of him as a player, but this is the best place for him. And then for Greer and McDaniel, having Tua in place, I think, it was funny. Like you kind of alluded to that first dark day of free agency, where the fan base, everybody was like ready to jump off a bridge or something, and I think having Tua in place, Tyreek, Waddle, McDaniel, you've got like a really good floor, and I think having Tua there, you've got a 9-win floor. I really believe that. Even if they hadn't made good moves in free agency, I still felt like this is still an 8 or 9-win team. This is an offense that's going to blow the doors off some teams, and they're just not going to be able to keep up. It doesn't matter how bad our defensive line is. So what that does is I think it gives you, and at the end of the day, a lot of times these execs, GMs, they have to think about their job security, right? And if you can win 9, 10, 11 games every single season, your leash is a lot longer than, you know, if you don't have a Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback, you know, things could fall apart really quickly. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's in both parties' best interest to get it done. It's going to get done. I don't know what the figures are going to look like, because I think we have such a specialized system for Tua, right? It's like built around his strength. So it's kind of a unique situation. Like, I think it's funny, like people act like any quarterback with like a decent amount of talent can come in and replicate what Tua does, but that's just ridiculous because of how much they've specialized what they're doing, you know, attacking the middle of the field, those anticipatory throws. So I think both parties are kind of in a position where there is no choice, right? It has to get done. And if it doesn't, I don't know what that's going to mean for Tua's career. And I don't know what that would mean for the Miami. Well, for the Miami Dolphins, that would be extremely problematic. Like some of these knuckleheads. Penix Jr.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are my favorite takes. Those are my favorite takes. Let's trade our Pro Bowl quarterback that our entire offense is built around and go draft Michael Penix or Bo Nix, or, you know, like insert whatever quarterback will be there at 21, which I'm not going to go on a total rant here, but if you just compare them as prospects, neither one of them are in the same galaxy as Tua Tagovailoa. Like, I like Michael Penix. I loved the whole story. I loved Washington Huskies. I thought it was a fun team. I like what he does, but you know, it's just, they're not, if you just look at that, if you forget the fact that Tua has been successful within the NFL and you just look at them as what they were coming out of college, even with Tua's hip injury, it's not the same thing. So there is no upgrade waiting around. Kirk Cousins is not better than Tua Tagovailoa. Bo Nix, Michael Penix, you know, if somehow you could draft Caleb Williams, you know, maybe I would listen to it, but like you can't. So yeah, Tua's our guy. It's going to get done. I'm not sweating it. I don't know how you guys feel though.
I mean, I'm a Tua stan. So I am waiting for it, right? Any day now we're going to get on Twitter, X, you're going to look at your phone. It's going to say Tua Tagovailoa signs. You know, there's going to be so many damn zeros at the end of that contract. So many people are going to be upset. And I do agree with you, right? I mean, all of us at the end of that year, if you weren't feeling some sort of disappointment, like the wheels fell off, like you didn't expect more out of Tua and that offense, regardless of all the injuries, then like, what the hell are we even doing here? I mean, you didn't want to see him crash and burn. We need to see Tua take that next step. But to sit here and think, like you mentioned, people are talking about Michael Penix or, you know, Bo Nix. I mean, that's just crazy to me. Why would you ever even think that that was the right answer? I mean, and I get the rookie contract thing, but those are some mediocre quarterbacks. So I'm okay though if you throw a dart late in the draft, right? I'm okay if you sit here and say, okay, let's get this guy as a project, you know, like we've seen with Purdy, like, you know, kind of like we've seen with Skylar Thompson. I'm okay with that, but you are not going out there and finding a better quarterback on the open market or in the draft without completely sucking, like you mentioned, the Caleb Williams, then Tua Tagovailoa. And you, like you said, this is the perfect marriage. They're all linked together. The deal's going to get done. And if you have an issue with it, I mean, you should probably go, I mean, I hate to be that person, but you should probably go root for another team for, you know, 4 or 5, maybe even longer years, because Tua Tagovailoa is not going anywhere. And if he does, like you said, it's going to be problematic. We'll be right back into that never ending carousel. So I didn't really think there was anything crazy coming out of this. I think Tua is just kind of sitting back with his cool little, you know, braids, just having the time of his life, because he knows that once that deal dries, man, he's going to get what, top 5 paid money, and he doesn't have to worry then after that, because that's the biggest thing for Tua, right? You want some security with those injuries, you know, that career threatening injury that we, you know, some thought he suffered. I mean, you want security there. So I'm excited for it to all get done, excited to be putting it behind us, because a lot more decisions need to be made after that Tua Tagovailoa deal is done if the Dolphins want to keep this ship steering in the right direction.
I've just been, my mindset's kind of been like, all right, any day now I'll just refresh over the cap and I'll just say Tua Tagovailoa $50 million per year. And it's fine. Totally cool with that. I love having Tua as the quarterback. He's a great quarterback. He's so fun to watch. He's a great dude to root for. I just finished watching Invincible, and I'm not going to spoil anything here, but for once, all I wanted to see Tua do over those final 3-4 weeks, and it kind of spoke to what you guys were saying in terms of like, it doesn't have to be the most reasonable thing. This dude is about to get paid $50 million a year. You don't get paid $50 million for being reasonable. You get paid $50 million for being a superhuman. I kind of wish there was just that one scenario where Tua would metaphorically punch so hard against one of these teams that his fist would go through four guys. Just that one scene, that one drive where he just shows everything sucks right now. It's not going our way. We have all these injuries. I don't care. I'm going to fight. I'm going to claw. I didn't really see that. I'm not saying he didn't try. Don't hear what I'm not saying here. But I just have this image of Ryan Tannehill picking his nose with this fluffy beanie on in Tennessee cold. And just since then, I've just always felt every year this Miami Dolphins franchise, the season ends with them just looking kind of sad in the cold. Like, I just want to see that one punch that says, shit's terrible right now. I don't care. I'm going to use my talent, use whatever I have in the tank. And that's not fair to say when you have guys in KC who are being treated for hypothermia game after game. I completely understand that. But when you're getting paid that money, you're getting $50 million, I think it's okay to kind of say, we want you to do the unreasonable, the unexpected, because that's your job. That's why people look up to you. I am looking forward to this contract, George. I think you described it perfectly. This marriage is perfect. These are two sides renewing their vows. I think they're going to get it done this offseason, get it done before training camp, so it's not that gray cloud looking like an eclipse over Hard Rock Stadium. It just kind of makes so much sense to get this done and make everyone happy so you can just push forward for whether that's 3 years, whether that's 13 years. I'm all for just hanging up and listening and seeing where this thing goes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
One final topic we have here, George, we talked to what would make this offense take that next step? Would it be adding a wide receiver three?
Yeah, well, I think they've done the first thing, which is a tight end that can get open. That isn't just like a finding spots in the zone to sit down with Jonnu Smith, right? So I think that was the the first big step. I think before the off season, that was my thing, was like, hey, we need a third guy that can beat man coverage, that can get off the line of scrimmage. And we just didn't really have that. I like Durham Smythe as like that tight end too. Good blocker, reliable, knows his assignments. Yeah. Yeah. I like Durham Smythe in that role. Durham Smythe as tight end one. It is kind of wild to look back, and that was, you know, our tight end room was kind of a struggle last year. I like Julian Hill. You know, I like Durham Smythe, but those guys aren't tight end one players right now. So I love the addition of Jonnu Smith. I think that is going to pay dividends if he can stay on the field, and him and Tua can get some chemistry. I think that'll be a huge step to where the offense is going to be better than it was last year. But yeah, wide receiver three. Now that could be Odell Beckham Jr., right? Which is like we've been teased with for weeks and weeks, right? They offered him two contracts now. Is that the reports, right? Two contracts. So he hasn't accepted either yet, which is unfortunate. But I like OBJ. You know, obviously you're not getting New York Giants OBJ from, you know, 8 years ago, but he can still play, and he can play on the outside. He can play in the slot. The other big free agent right now is Tyler Boyd, which is he's a big slot. His most productive year, I think he was on the outside 35% of his snaps. So he's a slot guy, which, you know, Tyreek and Waddle like to work in the slot too, Berrios. So you kind of want maybe more of that outside specialist is kind of what this offense needs more so, which I think OBJ fills that role a little bit better than maybe like a Tyler Boyd would. I've heard people talk about DJ Chark, who was good earlier in his career, has struggled lately. I think he's still a free agent. He's a bigger guy that could play outside. He's had some problems with drops recently, but
fit right in.
Huh?
He'll fit right in then.
Oh man, are you one of the people that was hating on Jalen Waddle for drops?
No. I just remember the one, I think it was the Eagles, where Tyreek caught it and then punted it into the stands before completing the catch, basically.
You know what's funny? Everybody talks about, oh, Tua was so bad against good defenses last year. And, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of folks just look at the box score and they're like, oh, he played badly. I thought he played really well against the Eagles. And they just had some really unfortunate drops. I think that was the game with the non-calls, right? The face mask. So, you know, and Cedric Wilson, who, when they signed him, I was excited from the Cowboys. I thought,
me too.
I thought he played, he was a really, he showed to be a pretty explosive receiver in Dallas. And, I thought that he would fit that role, but, you know, it didn't work out, which it is what it is. And then it was, they did, you know, he was picked up before McDaniel. So it's a different offense, so looking for different things. So not the end of the world, but, yeah. So I think they need to find somebody. I like Braxton Berrios, great returner, right? I think that kind of got lost in the shuffle last year, how consistent he was as a returner. I'm a Cray Craft stan too. But when you watch, so there were like multiple snaps I remember breaking down last year where teams would double if it was Waddle, and I saw with Waddle and Hill on the field, the Chiefs doubled both of them, left single coverage, only rushed three. Of course, somehow the rush got home immediately, and it ended up being, it was that play where Tyreek was doubled but came open, and then it was a third down, I think, and he, you know, they couldn't complete the pass. But I don't want teams to be able to do that. And Jonnu Smith is a great step in the right direction, where if you leave, you know, a linebacker one-on-one with Jonnu Smith and you don't have help over the top, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem. You know, he's one of the best yak tight ends in the NFL. And he's just a dynamic athlete for the position. So I would look, I don't know. I think it's going to really upset people if they go receiver in the first round. And I think for them to do that, it would have to be the right person to fall.
Right.
Because it is a pretty deep receiver class, like it is every year. So maybe probably second round is a better spot to look there. But you know, I like Ladd McConkey, I think is a good, you know, great route runner, sort of gives something different from what they already have. A lot of people will have been Brian Thomas from LSU, which he's like a really dynamic deep threat type of player. Xavier Worthy, of course, now he's like he's going to be a Miami Dolphin. You know, when you run a 4-2, that's, you know, everybody's like fallback, which I do. And I guess I would want to get your all's opinions, because I do think at some point when you emphasize speed, you get to a point where there's diminishing returns. So, you know, Devon Achane, Raheem Mostert, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. I mean, that's the four. There's no team that has four guys that fast in the NFL. There just isn't. And you have Waddle and Hill that are guys that are fantastic deep down the field. And I feel like at some point, I think about building a receiver room like building a basketball team almost, right? Not the same thing, but like you have different specialties, people that do different things. And I think, you know, you add a Xavier Worthy. Hey, that's awesome. We got another like insanely fast receiver. That's great. But I think at some point you have to look at a different skill set. I don't know if Mike McDaniel will. I think he's addicted to speed, but I would love to see maybe something that's more savvy route runner, bigger body, bigger wingspan, because I think that's one of the things that kind of gets lost. It does make it more difficult to complete passes when receivers have smaller wingspans, right? Like Jalen Waddle, like Tyreek Hill. Now Tua is like, you know, one of the more accurate quarterbacks in the NFL, so he's able to get it in there. But it's like we went from Mike Gesicki and Devontae Parker, who had nothing but wingspans, to now, you know, and they couldn't separate to save their life, to now we got guys that can separate. But when you get into those contested situations, which you're going to, like, it doesn't matter how good the receivers are, when you're facing Buffalo Bills twice a year, when you're facing the Kansas City Chiefs, whose defense is just on another level right now. But they did lose Lewis Snead, but still, you're going to Baltimore Ravens. When you face some of these great defenses in the AFC, you're going to have to win some of those contested situations. You're going to have covered up receivers, especially the Bills. You know, people, Dolphins fans are already have written off the Bills. The dynasty is over. Their window's closed. No, I'm sorry. Like, I've been watching this too long. I hate them because, you know, they've just got our number and they've had our number. But that is one of the best coached defenses in the NFL. And the amount of injuries they had last year, and they were still able to play at such a high level and really shut us down completely at the end of the year with the division on the line. That's a team that's going to be there. And that's a defense you're going to have to face twice a year, and you're probably going to have to get through in the playoffs. The Jets, who, of course, the Jets are going to fall apart and something's going to happen, but the defense is still going to be really good. So I think you need to find somebody that fills that different skill set, whether it's a bigger bodied guy or a more savvy route runner. There's something missing, and I think it's one of the bigger needs on the team, which is kind of getting lost.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are losing that. I mean, I don't know how I'd feel if they took one at 21. I think, again, we talked about it. The board's going to fall their way, but I think you'd mentioned it. I know Jake and I have talked about it, you know, all throughout the podcast, you know, how they still need that big body, right? That big body. We talked about, you mentioned Mike Gesicki, you talked about Devontae Parker. I mean, we're not saying you need a Mike Gesicki or Devontae Parker, but you need that type of skill set, right? You shouldn't be throwing what fades, you know, back-to-back weeks to a tiny little Tyreek Hill in the corner of the end zone, whatever it is, but it just opens things up and adds an entirely different element. I do like how you said Jonnu Smith though, because a lot of people seem to be, I don't want to say, maybe overlooking that signing, but I think he does bring a nice element to that. And like Jake and I have said, we need to get those running backs more involved, especially Devon Achane. I think he can do so much more in the passing game, you know, stop throwing those balls to Jeff Wilson.
I'm kind of in the camp of I'm open to seeing Eric Azukama, and I'd love to see Devon Achane get an average of 5 targets per game. I am just a little afraid of his frame. I think Miami does such a great job of creating holes and opening space where even if he's still just catching the ball out of the backfield and you're taking away 3 touches and giving him receptions instead, I think that benefit this unit quite a bit. So let's hear it, George. The Dolphins are on the clock. Pick number 21. Who most improves this team the most efficiently? Yeah, quickly. I'll say it. Whatever.
Well, you know, obviously, I'm going to give the super lame answer of it depends.
Nice. Right? So
it depends how the board falls, but this is going to sound terrible. I'm going to upset a lot of people, but I would not go interior offensive line. I wouldn't at 21. I think there you have a chance that there will be some guys available in the later rounds. Maybe if they trade back, get another second or third, something like that. But I would love it if one of these tackles, and I love when you talked about Austin Jackson earlier, right? They went with the raw, young, physically gifted tackle. And they say, you know what, we can shape him, which they did. But, you know, it took all the way to now. He's on a second deal. So did you, I don't know. So that would mean you're going to want to avoid, you know, Guyton and Mims probably. Those are the guys that are more raw tackle prospects coming out. That leaves the rest right now. I think Joe Alt is going to be gone, I think, in the first 5 to 10 picks. So that's probably not going to be an option. But you have Fashano, Fuaga. you have a Barton if you count him as a tackle. But again, I really don't think he's going to play tackle. J.C. Latham, which I already mentioned him earlier. I love J.C. Latham. I think he's so athletic for this bigger guy. And he has some experience on the interior. So maybe you take him, slot him into right guard next to Austin Jackson. And then next year when Teron probably retires, which is super depressing because I'm a huge Teron Armstead stan. I think then you kind of work out, okay, maybe we put Latham at right tackle and we move Austin Jackson back over. So if one of those tackles were to fall, Fawatanu from Washington, super athletic guy, can play on the interior. Fuaga is another guy that I think could play really well in the interior. Fashanu, I think, is probably more a tackle, and I don't know that his run blocking is to the point that, I think maybe he would have a harder time fitting into the offense. But so I would love offensive tackle. Johnny Newton or Byron Murphy would be awesome. You know, you're kind of filling a need, but those are two really good interior defensive prospects, and I think you're set for a while, right? Because you have Sealer under contract, so the next 4 years you have a pretty good base for your interior. Latu at edge, if he's there, I don't think that Dallas Turner or Jared Verse are going to be there. I think teams covet those athletic freaks too much, so I don't think those guys will be there. If like Dallas Turner is sitting there at 21, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Even though it sounds like Dallas Thomas, I'm starting to get that fear in the back of my head.
So I think
that was Billy
go...
Turner and Dallas Thomas. You just merged the two. Right? I was like, oh shit, that sounds like the worst best offensive lineman.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. A lot of people like Chop Robinson, who, hey, you're an edge and you're running a 4-4. I like you too. So I think he's gonna go with one of those premium positions. The only pick I think that would drive people up a wall, which I think is one of the better value picks, is going to be corner at 21. But it wouldn't make any sense. I don't think it would make a ton of sense. I don't think that they would see the field. You just have to Cam Smith. The fan base would probably break in and raid your office or something. So I don't think that's a great idea. But I think for a value, depending on how the board falls, Cooper DeJean, who am I? You've got a couple really good corners that there's a decent chance that those guys are going to potentially fall into that 21 range. So I could see that would be the only pick that I think would really drive people up a wall. I think receiver would upset some people too, but I would go edge if one of those guys falls. I think they're going to go interior defensive line though. And I think that would be one of my picks too, if Johnny Newton and Byron Murphy are there. Since I'm saying this, they're going to go like something completely different.
Well, I'm just fine. Ready for you. Don't worry.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. I welcome being wrong, but that's if I had one offensive player, it would be one of those tackles that fell. And if I had one defensive player, it would either be one of those big three edges or probably Johnny Newton is going to be, I think, the sweet spot right there, 21 for them.
Josh, shaking your head in agreement. You concur here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm at the point, I keep telling you, I'm sitting here, I understand what can honestly sit here and sell us on any of them. So, I'm down with that. It sounds like what? If it's offense, offensive line, defense, defensive line, let's see what happens. But like you said, it's going to be a complete opposite. Who knows what Chris Greer is going to do?
Michael Penix Jr.
There it is. Wow. We're ending by setting the tone. George, where can people find you? What are you working on? What are you excited about?
Yeah, so I'm working on getting sleep right now. But on Twitter, George43. I'm getting back into sleeping and being able to write. But yeah, I write on Finsider. During the season, I do film reviews for each week and a film preview for the upcoming game. So that's where I'm more consistently. But I have that, that Madden franchise brain. So anytime I'm thinking about like, oh, how could we build this unit? Sometimes I'll just throw things together and write random articles. So you can find me on the Finsider and on Twitter. Follow me. The film stuff, I do more college stuff, but my son wanted to be selfish and be born March 18th, which is like right in that period. So, I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. So, but I'm probably leading up to the draft. We still got a couple weeks. I'll probably start breaking down some film start breaking down some of my favorite picks. I will say I didn't do a mock draft last year, but the year before that I called Waddle and Phillips in the first round. So
the combo, I love it.
Yeah. And you know who my big guys that year were? Ali McNeil, Marco Wilson, some of the guys that went later that ended up being pretty good players. But that's sprinkled into the million misses that I've had. So, take that with a grain of salt.
That's kind of the thing with everything, all the content that's made, that everything that's shared, like celebrate the wins, learn from the losses. It's not, you're never not going to lose. Like that's kind of the key here. George, you said it all. Thank you so much for taking an hour to chat with us. This was an absolute blast. We will have to have you back sooner rather than later. Stay tuned on this feed later this week. We will be back with Kat for a draft preview. But until then, thank you so much for listening to another Dolphins podcast. We will talk to you soon. And until then, it's up.